I'm Lori Mack with Connecticut Public Radio News. Daily COVID-19 infection rates have been soaring, setting record highs nationwide. And now, months into the pandemic, many of us are exhausted and stressed. Connecticut Public Radio's Diane Orson has spent the past few weeks exploring the toll the pandemic is taking on our collective mental health. I spoke with her about it. Early on, she'd talked with healthcare workers around the state, and I asked about recent conversations she's had with medical workers on the front lines.
What I did this time was to go back and see how they're feeling. And what I found is that people are better able now to talk about their mental health. I mean, early on when things were hitting Connecticut so hard and so fast, and there were so many unknowns about the virus, how to treat it. Frontline workers were worried if they were going to bring it home with them. What were they going to do for childcare if schools shut down? The list goes on and on. I have tape here from Marima Sestovic. I spoke with her in April. I circled back with her a few weeks ago. She's an infection preventionist at Stamford Health in Fairfield County, obviously one of the hardest hit regions of the state. And when COVID hit, they just didn't have enough personal protective equipment to handle the volume of critically ill patients. She was in a position where she'd have to speak to medical workers. And after years of having trained them to follow certain protocols and practices, they had to change them in the face of COVID.
I was out of my body. I can't even explain that feeling. I just felt like I had chills all the time. I had this heavy feeling on my chest all the time. I have asthma too. And so during this time, I became so uncomfortable in my chest and so short of breath, I thought I had COVID. I had asthma exacerbation, stress-induced. I've never had asthma exacerbation in the last 20 years. I had to be put on steroids. This was all stress-induced. Had a family member, also very close family member, who was in a hospital with COVID. Not knowing whether they're going to make it was such a burden on our family. I really don't know. It was all a blur, and I don't like to think about it. It was just like I was in a twilight zone. That's how I felt.
You know, what's striking to me is she's a professional. She sees this stuff, and you can still hear the stress in her voice.
Yeah.
What's out there in the form of help for frontline medical workers?
One of the most interesting initiatives that I came across is the Stress and Resilience Town Hall programs that are being offered virtually to Yale Health System caregivers. The idea is to create a safe space for medical workers to talk about what they're going through. And sometimes they'll focus on a particular theme. I have some tape here, some pretty powerful tape from one town hall, which was centered around recognizing when it's important to seek mental health treatment. This is Javi Alvarado. He's a social worker and an Iraqi war veteran.
I'll begin by saying that my personal experiences in combat led to struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder. And today I can draw many parallels to my prior life as a soldier and healthcare workers, particularly over these last many months. As a young combat medic, I was attached to a tank unit, and during my tour, witnessed hundreds and hundreds of casualties on the field. The concentration of death and destruction was so surreal and conceivable, and I understood this at the time, but I convinced myself that in order to do my job, to care for others as a medic, it was important to suppress the fear and anxiety that I felt. I sometimes worry about my colleagues here at Yale, who also serve on the front line, have shared similar experiences and have in similar ways suppressed it. This stoicism, unfortunately, is not only prevalent in the military, but also in healthcare.
Wow, that scene he describes is really powerful.
Yes, and he goes on to say that his decision to accept that he'd been profoundly affected by combat and to seek counseling was directly related to people who cared enough to share their stories with him, and he encourages other healthcare workers to reach out.
Diane, you've been working on this project for several weeks, as we said in the beginning. How do you think these conversations will inform your reporting going forward?
I did hear a fundamental theme running through many of the conversations. It's a paradox that we're living through right now. Because just at the moment when emotionally we really want to stay connected to family and friends and colleagues, we know intellectually that one of the best things we can do to keep ourselves safe is to maintain distance from each other. So over and over again, what I heard were people struggling to come to terms with this type of paradox and trying to help their family members, from young children to, you know, elderly relatives, recognize and respect and navigate this moment.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Lori.
And tonight at 8 o'clock, Diane hosts an hour-long show on CPTV called Cutline, Mental Health During COVID-19, and available for streaming at ctpublic.org.